So I'm here with Benjamin Jacob Creech. He is my cousin of some renown.
Yeah, something like that. Some renown.
So, what are you going to do up there?
Yeah, I'm going to be working with Sam in his auto glass shop.
Oh, taking awesome. Over
our cousin Josiah's, position.
Yeah, yeah. Guys are swapping.
And I'm going to probably be doing that a couple times a week, maybe three times a week. I don't know. The other few days we're going to be working on the cattle ranch where we go hunting. It's 5,000 acres, Ferry County, just right across the bridge, pretty much towards Inchillium. And it's just Wyatt and his mom running it. Gladys is in her 80s. Wyatt's in his 60s. Wyatt has no kids.
Okay.
So Sam, he asked Sam if he'd like to be in the will for that land. So what got the ball rolling way back last winter was, well, I have a heart for that place, that ranch, you know, because every time I'd go up there hunting, we'd help Wyatt. We work, we're doing something.
Yeah.
We're branding cattle, we're fixing fence, we're feeding hay, we're doing all kinds of stuff. So I really enjoyed being there, and I was like, man, I'd like to help him more. And he goes, well, funny thing, you should say that. Okay, I'll be real with you. type thing. So he's like, well, I'm in the will to get that, and I want to make it our own. It's going to be God's. And if you come up and you're a part of that, you know, you've worked at the ranch so long, you know, if we brought young men in and teach them how to work and then rodeo for fun or whatever later and ride and rope and do all that stuff, you know, nothing big scale or anything, just a month or so or a couple weeks or something, bring kids in and teach them how to do stuff. Put them up for a little bit and have kind of a work and fun type of thing on the cattle ranch. You know, not many boys probably want to do that, or girls for that matter. So I'm not really sure what that's going to look like, but we're just, you know, giving it to God and saying, this is yours, you know, what are you going to, you know, you can make it happen. So,
okay.
That's the future. And then, Wyatt made mention that I could move into, his mom's house, which is a nice log house that looks over the stinking Columbia River.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Cause she's getting up there in age and stuff. So,
so you just bring his mom and to live with himself? Like, why would this have?
No, she's set in her ways.
Set in her ways. Yeah.
She's, I don't know. Hopefully she just passes away. Cause I'm sure she's gonna be so ornery.
She might make it to 95. Yeah, we don't know that.
Imagine putting her in some sort of living facility. Those nurses would be like, take her back. But yeah, no, that's just kind of the vision that we have for the future and stuff. And so I just feel like God was opening doors for that.
That is cool. Yeah.
So,
and given your set of skills, it's kind of a perfect fit.
Yeah. So,
and Sam's affinity with animals.
Yes. Yeah. He can do a lot with animals. I mean, he's got a ton of horses right now. And, you know, between the farming at the ranch, which is pretty low scale, and then all the irrigation stuff I was in charge of and grading the roads and all that land management stuff. I mean, I know some stuff, but not to the extent of somebody who's been doing it for their whole life. So. 9:30 in the morning. Here we go.
9:30. Here we go. Thanks for making it. Thanks for fitting it in. It's been tough trying to fit life into my weird schedule these days. So you, I asked you down here because a lot of people don't understand how everything went down. And in the beginning, and there's this really gray fuzzy area in terms of the 12 people who listen to my podcast.
Well, that's me too. So is that 13?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know you listened. I didn't know that.
I had a hard time getting through all the dedication leadership. So did I in prep school too.
Really?
Yeah.
Even with Dan at the end?
I don't don't remember.
So,
but no, I would actually, when I would go hunting, mm-hmm. I would put your podcast up and just listen.
What'd you think of all the, see, I lost everybody when I started, Deliver Us From Evil.
Oh, yep. Oh, yeah.
What'd you think of that?
You made me read it.
That's right. I did. Yeah.
A long time ago.
I did.
And you said, what'd you think? And I said, it's interesting, but you didn't lose me.
I didn't.
No, and I really enjoyed listening to the stories about your dad and stuff, and I really enjoyed you calling me your grandpa's favorite grandchild.
Yeah. Yep. He liked you, and he liked Evan.
He caught my hand in the pickle jar a few times and never didn't get it to me, so... doing something right, I guess.
Yeah, we forgot a Sallywhacker.
Yeah, the poor Play-Doh guy. Is it Play-Doh or cookie?
We don't know.
A Lisa creation.
Yeah.
I'm babysitting Ben. Let's just do something.
So, you were in high school and you were playing a lot of baseball. And then all of a sudden, kind of out of the blue, you had your driver's license, and then all of a sudden you started showing up.
Yep.
And you'd been so busy with baseball that we just thought, oh, you know, Ben's a busy guy. We don't get to see him much anymore. And then all of a sudden Ben starts showing up, and he shows up at the Wises, and he shows up at our place, and he shows up at, he just starts showing up probably at all the other creatures too.
Gavin and I.
Gavin.
We were almost inseparable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We went fishing all the time.
Fishing, yeah. All the time.
All the time.
Sportsmanship.
Kept us out of trouble.
So you started coming around, and then why did you decide to take Christianity seriously? What happened?
It probably started after high school. I was working here at Coca-Cola in Yakima.
Mm.
Working with, being in that environment where nobody was, or if they were, I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really hard time in high school because the Nazarene church right by the high school their youth group was huge.
Yeah.
I feel like the school was at this youth group, and growing up in the church with you guys,
mm-hmm.
I knew what Christian living and what it was all about, but these kids would go, and when they'd come back to school, they weren't Christians.
No.
And they would walk around with their "What Would Jesus Do?" bands all over their arms, and yet they were the biggest jerks in the world.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, you, why? No. And I was just so put off by that. Yeah. Like, I just made me just irritated. But, you know, as a teenager, as a young man, I don't even know if I'd call myself a young man yet, but
18, 19.
I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to be in charge of my life. I wanted to be... You know, I wanted to make my own decisions and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And Christianity wasn't even a part of the equation until after high school, when I started hanging around people that I don't normally hang around.
Mm.
And then I went up hunting with Sam and Ross, turkey hunting.
Before prep school.
Yeah. So that trip right there made me start thinking about stuff. And that drive home, from that trip, I was like, God, there's something different here, and I want to be a part of it, type of thing. So,
mm-hmm.
And Aunt Bonnie even's like, you should come to prep school. And at first I was like, no, why would I do that? And then I got thinking about it, and the Lord just grabbed a hold of my heart and uh-huh. said, go. And so I went up to Matt and I said, I'm going to prep school. And he was like, what? Just out in the blue. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I was surprised too.
So, Evan and I headed up there together. So,
yeah. And so you guys got up there. And what is prep school? Or what was prep school when you attended?
Yeah, it was way different than what you had. I don't even remember how long it was. You guys were 2 years, correct?
Yeah.
I don't even think ours was a year. They revamped it.
It was like maybe 8 months.
So we started out on... the get to know each other hike up in the Cascades. That's how we got to know each other.
Yeah.
It was on a hike.
Is that the Pasayton?
No, it was actually Stehekin. Okay. So the Sawtooth. you know, there was six of us guys and four girls.
Mm-hmm.
I only knew Sam and Ross and Larry a little.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know, oh, and Evan. I didn't know Stephen Higgins at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed him. He was fun. And then Kaylee Johnson, now Stevie.
Yeah.
Who I knew growing up. And then Tessa, April, and Lonnie were all, I didn't know them.
Who's Lonnie?
Lonnie is from North Dakota. She came with Tessa.
Oh, okay.
And then April came from Texas because she knew Dade.
Oh, okay.
And heard about it and stuff. So.
Dade Cunningham.
Yes.
The third.
And so after we got back, I think, yeah, it was there was a dedication leadership class. I think Uncle Doug taught that one. I don't remember. There was a Rich Dad, Poor Dad class with Rick.
Okay. Yeah.
That one, I was having a real struggle understanding what that was.
Uh-huh.
And then Barry and Ann, and of course, and then with Melzer, we built Michael's log house. We got a prep school class. You guys are going to build me a house.
Yeah, yeah. Now we're going to build things for other people.
And incorporated with all that, there was a physical training regiment with it.
Right. And that was Peter Harrington.
Peter, yep.
Yeah.
So we'd get up at 5 and we'd go to PT in the morning.
And I hear more stories about PT than anything else.
It was the worst, but funniest and best memories of my life. I can't even...
Even Evan, all of his stories are just about PT.
Poor guy.
Evan is my cousin, by the way, just for the audience notes.
He could pump up push-ups like crazy.
Mm, Evan?
Short arms, just could pump them out. But running, no, it wasn't his strong suit at all. No, we'd be pushing him up. Finally, we stopped running. We're all doing push-ups. He goes, why can't you keep going, Evan? He's like, I'm giving it all I can, sir. Like, you know, like off Star Trek. And we're all laughing. It wasn't funny after that. We ended up doing more push-ups.
Ross is like, no joking. No fun.
No. And then the brother aspect with Ross and Peter, too. That cropped up one morning.
Yeah, I'll bet it did.
And that one was the best one, I think, because we're all quiet sitting there, and Peter's getting after us for something, and he asks Ross, so are you mad at the situation or me? And he goes, that situation, and you. That was the end of it. You know, the thing of prep school was, you know, prepping you for life type of thing, so it was a good... right out of high school thing do, you know, so yeah, and I enjoyed the friendships I made
mm-hmm.
with just the 10 of us, so
yeah. And you're still pretty good friends with Ross and Sam.
Yeah, right? Sam and I talk all the time.
Yeah,
all the time. And I talk to Ross when I get a hold of him. He's pretty busy and stuff, so
yeah. I saw Ross the other day, just for a minute. But you don't see Evan much these days.
No, I need to call him.
Yeah, I get to see him, but I'm like the only one. Maybe I can get him on the podcast sometime.
Would you do it?
Probably not.
I don't know if he would. He's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just that's how, you know... You know, your dad baptized me when I was 7, 10. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a clue, really. You know, I asked Jesus into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Dunk me. You know,
this is fun.
Yeah. So, but didn't really know what that really meant. But on the prep school hike up in Stehekin, Barry baptized me up there in the lake. Which wouldn't be like another baptizing. Was it more like just renewing your faith?
So, you guys came back and, what'd you do after that?
I came back down here
to Yakima
and started working at Coca-Cola again.
So you're living in Zillow, working at Coke again.
And then I think I got the call either from Phil, my brother, or I can't remember. Then I went back up there and started working construction for the Bucks, Jim and Ronnie. So
you learned some construction. Why did you decide to come back to Yakima?
I wasn't really planning on staying up there after we were done. I wasn't even.
So you just wanted to work construction up there for a while and then come back?
Well, I came back here and then I went up there, did construction. And then Skyler, your brother, called me. Was like, hey, we have a job opening. You want to move back?
Okay.
And I was like, I don't even know why I did, to be honest. I just did. Sure. So, you know, I went work with him and Gus Builders.
Okay. So you came
up there for about 2 years before I came back down.
So you got to work for Gust and build fancy custom homes.
Yep.
High end.
After that, I was working with Bob and building those rentals.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's stressful.
I feel like it's all the same. I don't know.
Okay.
Rentals versus custom.
It's all the same.
Standard still high, you know, type of thing. So,
you. We're doing that when we started swing dancing.
No. We started that before I moved up there for construction with the Bucks.
Oh,
because I would come down like once a month.
That's right.
And visit.
That's right.
I would hustle down and hang out on a weekend.
So here's how I remember things playing out. I was plugging along, doing my thing. Nancy Myers was approached by a principal and said, hey, I am the high school principal, and I had to shut down a dance because it was so bad. It was over the top bad.
Grotesque bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think that's been that way for quite a while.
Yeah,
you just know this, maybe. He's just like, oh, this is not okay.
This is inappropriate. And that would have been 2005?
Yeah. 2004, 2005.
2004. And so Nancy says, well, my daughter knows how to swing dance and really likes swing dancing, is excited about swing dancing. So her daughter was Beth Bauer, and she was former Miss Zilla and fresh from a Christian college thing. That's right. Up in Canada. Mm-hmm. And she was working to become a hairstylist in Sunnyside. And so Beth Myers, getting ahead of myself, shows up and she starts teaching. And I was asked to help Beth teach this school thing. So Beth was point, kind of lead on everything, because she knew all the teachers and they all loved her. And she knew 3/4 of the students. We wound up running a swing dance there in Zillow.
At the high school.
Yeah. And then, so you helped me with that, as I recall.
Yeah, that one's kind of a blur. I remember sitting in the cafeteria, mm-hmm, with a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
That's
all you remember.
That's about it. And playing Jimmy Eat World 5 billion times.
Yeah. Jimmy Eat World. Hear you, me, my friend. Yeah, we taught him to waltz, taught him to foxtrot, taught him to swing dance, and we taught him some aerials. We did that for one school year, and it was gangbusters. And we'd get done. It was on Tuesday nights, and then we would go to your house and watch House.
Oh my, did we?
Yeah, Dr. House.
Man, that was a long time ago. Doesn't seem like a long.
Yeah. And your mom would give me a hard time. It was great.
Yeah, she enjoyed it. You enjoyed giving her a hard time too.
Well, yeah, she's awesome. Mm.
Yeah, but I don't. I can't really. I don't think I was really involved when we took over at Terrace Heights.
Yeah, Bennett Mayo was there, and Bennett and his dear friend Weston Argo.
That's right. Yep.
And then Chelsea Gardner and her dear friend Annie Green, and they were kind of the backbone of the after school program.
Okay, they were the cool people. They got everybody there.
Yep.
They weren't there for us.
Nope. They were not. because the next year after they all graduated from high school, they were seniors, the program died on the vine the next year, and we could get nobody to show up. But in the meantime, Bethany Myers at the time got involved at something that a guy named Cole Fairbrook was running, and he was running a swing dance at the Terrace Heights Civic Center. Mm-hmm. And it was him and his younger brother, whose name I can't remember. And it was like him, his younger brother, and then another guy, and then seven girls or something like that. And they would all show up hoping to dance, and Cole and one other guy were the only ones dancing. And it was like a CD that was on repeat. It just played the whole night, and they had a table set up and a whole bunch of food that was just like pretzels. And Beth came in and he said, "Hey, can you run this? I've got a girlfriend now and I'm busy." And pretty soon Beth was running it. And then Bethany started courting my brother Trenton. And then Bethany was like, "Hey, Jared, can you run this?" And that was after we had our first Christmas dance. Do you remember the Christmas dance? So we had a Christmas dance, and we had...
I remember Christmas dances. I don't remember the first one.
Yeah. So the first one, we pulled in a couple of people who had shown up, and we had them help us. And about 40 people showed up, 45 people, which was a ton of people. I couldn't believe how many people were there, 45 people at a swing dance. Yeah.
Yeah, 80% girls, 20% boys.
Yeah. 80-20. And then we kind of went from there. So that's when Ben and I don't remember how much, like, when you got back to town in this story, but at some point we decided we were going to learn how to swing dance. And you got ported into helping run swing dances at the Civic Center. In a big way.
Somehow.
Yeah.
I don't remember how.
You don't remember.
I didn't have anything else going on. I was just working and then hanging out with you guys. It was what I did.
Yeah. So you guys consisted of me. It came to consist of Jared, Beth Bauer.
Zach
Stambaugh.
Oh, man. I don't remember who was all there. There was more than that. Keith wasn't there yet, was he?
Mm-mm.
No.
Ben,
Christina?
Christina came in at one point. Jacqueline Foster came in at one point.
That's right.
And then Chelsea Garner came in at one point.
Yep, that's right. Yep. Jacqueline. Yep.
And then after Chelsea died, like immediately, almost like an overlap of 1 week, Keith came in.
Okay. Yep.
So I'm calling you in to reminisce.
Reminisce.
But you don't remember.
I have a hard time with that. To be honest with you, yes, I was decent at dancing. I did not like it. I did not like dancing with people I didn't know.
Yeah.
It was super hard for me.
Yeah.
I remember getting called out a lot. "You need to get in there and ask girls to dance." I'm like, I'll stand outside for a little bit.
But you
met my wife. And then,
yeah. Where did you meet your wife?
I met my wife swing dancing.
What do you know?
Weird.
This is going to be a common theme.
Staring at each other from across the room.
Yeah, just looking like with your eyes bucking out. No, you didn't. You weren't like, "Ooh, that's love at first sight." Like that's not your MO anyway. So how'd that play out? Tell me about it.
I think what happened really was that she noticed me and enjoyed being.
I need to point this out now that you're married, have a bunch of kids. All the girls noticed you, Ben. All of them.
Well, I was a little oblivious.
Yeah, it's a good that was part of the appeal.
I didn't chase girls in high school. I just didn't. So it's not a part of.
You didn't know how.
Noticing that. Oh man, she's checking me out.
Yeah.
I didn't look at that.
I'm gonna give them a little calf. See how they handle that.
Yeah, there was some scared me. Some girls scared me at the swing. I'm staying away from her.
Yeah. She's way too excited. But so you were there, and
I don't think I was involved with when, because her, Jeff, and Dan, they came early on, and then Jeff
found a girl.
Found a girl
at the swing dance, I think.
And then,
yeah.
And so Dan just,
Rachel, who's like, was really cool, really cool.
And then Dan would just yank Autumn along with him.
That's true, yeah. So Dan Heed was dragged there by Jeff Short, and Autumn came along. She was part of the group. I'm surprised they got her there because they got none of the other girls. Oh, and that's not true. There were two other girls they got to show up every once in a while. Autumn's sarcastic friend would show up sometimes.
Oh,
the one that married the garbage man.
Oh, Brianna.
Yeah.
Married the garbage man. Yep. I don't remember her being there, but doesn't mean she wasn't. And then I know that in the midst
just
of all that,
of times, I don't know.
We would hang out with their group and play
volleyball.
Not volleyball.
Spin the bottle.
I hope not. Where was I? No. The Frisbee game.
Oh, yeah. Ultimate Killer Frisbee.
Ultimate Killer Frisbee, where I was just irritated with this girl that would just cherry pick out in the end zone, which happens to be my wife.
Well, she wasn't going to be running everywhere. She doesn't like running.
I didn't realize who that was. Like, who's this girl just camping out catching frisbees? That's my wife.
That's Autumn. So she was giving you
that was one of the first weekends I moved back down from up there. We went and hung out in that part in the park there.
Oh,
with all those people.
That's right. Actually, I remember hanging out in the park a few times with that group.
And and I accidentally, Dan and I both went up for a frisbee that time, and I got him right in the ribs and knocked the wind out of him. I felt so bad. I was like, I'm sorry. He's like, fuck. He's trying to suck wind.
Poor Dan Heed. He probably remembers everything. He has that ability.
Probably.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
So she saw you. You didn't quite get a look at her until when? When did you decide, oh?
I think I noticed her staring at me on the girl side a lot. And so I started staring back. And then we would hang out in the group. Yeah, I don't really know how that all went. Then Portland happened. We all went to Portland for Lindy Hop
exchange. That's right. And so on the way back,
that's when things
accelerate. You're like, you were like, oh, hi. And she's like,
pretty much.
So you get back and you decide, I'm going to marry this girl.
Here's the part that I was like, I was so stressed out. Keith posted pictures on Facebook.
Yes, he did.
There's Ben and Autumn, arm in arm all the time. Uh-huh. And I was like, and I knew Uncle Matt was going to see it. Yeah. I called him right away, and he already saw him. I'll just see, you know, it's this girl I like. Anyways, and then we started the courtship process. And after that weekend. Yeah, I was a little stressed. I was like, I don't want to get my butt chewed out for this.
So it went well, and you decided you're going to marry Autumn.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
And after that, you kind of dropped off of the swing dance scene.
Yeah. I didn't love the dancing that much. It wasn't.
No, yeah. Tons of guys are just there for the social stuff.
Everybody else that was there. They love to be social with everybody.
Yeah. So in hindsight, you know, what's your hot take on that? So we went from Zilla Swing Kids having a piddly group of people to having a tiny little group there in the basement. And do you remember when I sat down and I said, hey guys, I think we could really take this somewhere. And I talked about discipling kids. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just when I think about it and then how small we were, and then we got to Terrace Heights and it just exploded. I mean, and then we were doing, and then it turned into First Friday, and then what was the older one? Was that Tuesday?
No, it was First Friday, Second Friday, and
that's
Friday.
Right. We just had kept them on Fridays, but
yeah.
Yeah, it just blew up.
Yeah, because they're struggling to get rid of children. Yeah.
My high school baseball coach showed up with his daughter one time. I walked over and I was like, hey, Coop, what are you doing? And he's like, my daughter wanted to come to this with her friends. And what if his daughter's friends run up to him? She goes, Mr. Cooper, you want to dance? He's all, nope. And I said, I know that feeling. I know. Nope, we don't want to be creepy old men.
Yeah, and so what happened was we just saw that explosion. And some of it was engineered of attendance. And we did a lot of work behind the scenes. And some of the work was just socializing. And the, I have to say, like, you and Jacqueline and Chelsea and I, Zach. We socialized with a ton of people, and they weren't the same people. Like, there was not a homogeny of socialization going on and pulling people in who pulled people in who pulled people in. And that explosion of attendees, they were looking at the 5, 6, 7 of us that constituted the inner ring at any given moment. And there was flux in that. But you and I were pretty consistently there throughout. Zach was also there during the regular dances, but he didn't go in for the Lindy.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Lindy is hard.
It is super hard.
Yeah.
I could just do the same thing. Don't make me do anything else. Mm-hmm.
Like Ben and I, when the first time we went to the Portland Lindy Exchange, remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
That was mortifying.
Yeah, it was horrible. We were finally good at East Coast. Yeah. We show up there and it's like, now speak Japanese. How does this relate? Yeah, and the live music and
Michelle and Brandon there.
Oh, that was the second time.
I went twice?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember the first time. We were sleeping in the van.
Yeah. It was you and me by ourselves there. And then who else was there?
I thought,
It was Chrissy. Chrissy was there.
But Autumn, Christina, and Jacqueline, did they all stay with Sarah?
No.
What day was
it? Yeah, you're mixing the two times we went.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I went twice.
Oh, I didn't go the second time. I didn't go the second time.
I can't remember.
So the first time it was...
I can't even believe I agreed to go the second time.
It was Chelsea Garn. Well, Autumn was going.
You're right.
It was Chelsea Garner and Christina Peterson and Michelle. And Jacqueline and me and you. And that was it the first time. And then the second time is, I don't even know who all went.
Keith went. Keith, Michelle, Brandon.
Autumn.
Michelle had a friend with her. It was a small group of us,
yeah. More than the first time. Anyway, the first time was a big deal for me because I realized that I kind of wanted to learn how to Lindy because it looked like they were having a really good time.
To be honest, I think I went down to the bar a couple of times. Nobody knew where I went. I go have a
beer. Cheers. 9 o'clock in the morning.
There you go. No, I was a little... overwhelming for me.
No, it was overwhelming for us.
Seeking out people I don't know. I don't do that very well. I still struggle with that.
You don't want to dance with people you don't know.
Parents that come up to the ranch for resolve are like, they'll ask their son, why does that guy look mad all the time? I'm not mad. I'm just not comfortable.
It's so funny because you're so social once you know him.
I know.
It's that first breaking of the ice. So Autumn is, I'm going to describe Autumn. Autumn has large eyes, and she's kind and nice and flow with beyond comprehension and super easy to talk to and has a charming laugh and a great smile. And I wasn't surprised at all. And she never puts on airs, ever. Doesn't know how. And I wasn't surprised that I wasn't so much surprised that Ben had decided to
pursue
her, yeah, as I was that you know, that you'd taken the initiative and just made it happen. Just like,
isn't like me either.
No, it's not like I was, you know what, here we go.
Maybe I was just the person to sit back and be like, somebody will come after me and then I'll get going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That doesn't happen.
I think you figured that out by then. You're like, gonna make this happen now. So, and maybe it was the photos that, that Keith took that really, really helped.
Well, I'd already, you know, that was already going that way. It just accelerated a little faster.
So, yeah, I was pretty stoked. Once it was time, and then you and she, like, yeah, you guys, like, she had already kind of decided that, like, you probably could have just bought a ring and popped the question.
I probably could have. No, she went to that movie, The Proposal, with friends, and I already had the ring.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I don't even know how it came up. She's like, oh, I bet you wouldn't be able to hold that ring in your pocket if you had it. And I got stubborn and said, watch this. And I held on to it for a while.
Bravo.
Not, it actually wasn't that long. Anyways, I had to figure out, well, how am I going to do this? How am I going to propose? And I asked Jacqueline, help me out here.
Mm-hmm.
Wrangle her and, like, say we're going to go meet at the park. Because mm-hmm. that's where I first met her, was mm-hmm. at Franklin. And so she called her and said, we're all going to hang out, blah, blah, at the park. But my wife doesn't do anything urgently.
Mm-hmm.
So he took forever to show up. I'm sitting in the park, sweating my butt off. It's like July. Waiting for her with flowers to come. Finally, she shows up.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then I just did it. Let's get out of here. I'm sweating my butt off.
And she said yes.
Yes, of course. And with everybody else around the park congratulating us.
Oh, man. Yeah, I must have been in Idaho or something.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
So that was July 2008? No. No, that was 2009. Because we got married in November. November 2009.
Yeah, yeah. You got married in November.
Yep.
Yeah, so I was in, when you proposed, I was in Idaho.
Oh, okay. Oh, you were at the...
at the lodge.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty exciting, man. Pretty damn exciting.
Was I the first? No, I would say Trent and Beth were the first couple. Wow, the swing dancing group. And then it was me.
That got married?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
And then I feel like it just exploded.
Because did we count Jeff and Rachel?
Yeah, I guess so.
Did we count, was it Dan Heed's brother? Met his wife there.
Oh, that's right.
Joel? They got married after you, probably.
Nathan got married after me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was just, if you want to go meet a wife, go to swing dancing, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it exploded after that. They all wound up getting married. Romance was thick.
It was super thick.
Yeah, so I would say that.
Forget going to Bible school and getting married.
Yeah, you just go to swing dances. Yeah. Well, it was fatiguing, you know. There were a lot of people that got married that I wasn't invited to the wedding, but they met each other and got married, you know. But then there was a bunch of them that did, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to a wedding every 2 months. You know, except in the dead of winter. That's when they, like, take a breath for a second.
Yeah, right.
Wait for the new crop.
Yeah, that initial years of swing dancing, it was a lot of work and a lot of late nights hanging out.
It was as if we spent almost every other night socializing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
In different sets of groups, but yeah.
Somebody's house somewhere we were hanging out.
Mm-hmm. And there was drama and there were squabbles and there was bad behavior and there was...
That's just what happens with people.
Yeah. And then there was a ton of romance.
All that stuff and add some romance in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some heartache and there's hurt feelings and there was some bitterness. And there's also a bunch of healthy marriages with tons of kids.
Yep. Yep.
Which is an oversimplification.
I think the one thing that I've learned working at the ranch, yes, I'm living in community, working with people that I'm living in community. People are just people. Like, sin is just sin, and you can't sit there and...
There's no perfect... There's no utopia. There's no perfect
little... No, and so you just...
Sinless place.
You know, you just got to understand people's heart. They're not sitting there doing stuff on purpose. You just, they're just, you know, and you just love them through it. Like, knowing my own weakness, mm-hmm. which is confrontation, because I would turn tail and just run. Like, I'm not getting involved in this garbage. Mm-hmm. And then I went to a place where confrontation is constant.
It's all day, every
day. All day, every day. And just learning how to work through it.
So you went from... work in construction, and then you got married.
Then I went to Ecola Bible School.
That's right.
With my wife, who was there like 10 years prior to me going, and we had a baby.
Yeah, and then, but Ben Creech, or sorry, Dan Heed had also, that's the Bible school he went to.
Yep.
And Jeff Short.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a ton of those guys up in Yakima.
Yeah, so the group of people that went to Ecola that were from Yakima, they stuck together, Autumn and Dan and Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And then you took a job working with juvenile delinquents on a ranch farm combination kind of situation up against the Nile Valley. Or sorry, in the Nile Valley up against the hills.
Yep.
And up by down by the river, simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
Which is in the Cascades, just at the foothills of the Cascades.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep. It's just
it's where the woods start,
pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's you get up, you're driving up 410 Highway 410, and you get to the Nile, which there's the Woodshed Restaurant, Eagle Rock Store. And right there is the Nile Road. You take a left. You go right across the river, and immediately after the river, you take a left on the Flying H Youth Ranch.
So do you think that, you know, this is your current trajectory and the episode with the syndicates? I'm looking for something from you. You know, what's the story you tell about that time when you were in the syndicates? Like, good, bad, ugly, up, down, inside out.
It was good. It was a good time. But yeah, there was some painful parts in there.
What was the painful parts?
Chelsea
dying?
Yep. That was the worst.
Yeah.
Up until that point, my dad died when I was in third grade. So having somebody that close die, it was hard to swallow. Just didn't understand why. So,
and she was 21. So how did you handle that?
I probably internalized it a lot. I knew I lost a lot of weight in there because I wasn't eating very much and just working construction. I didn't realize it until Grandma Bauer pointed it out one day. She saw me at church. She's like, "You're getting skinny." And I'm like, "Oh." But like most things, it just takes time to get over. I think that was the one big, that was one of the hardest parts in the whole thing, was that having someone close in there like that. Not, you know, and I know that she was going through whatever she was going through before that.
You're leading up to her death.
Yeah. So, I mean, just working through that. It was hard. It was a hard few months. For sure.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And coming into my, you know, young adult, if it was probably the best thing that could have happened. So,
yeah.
And it probably helped me stick around the Yucca Valley the longer.
Yeah. Yeah. The syndicates, not yep. Chelsea dying.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I did. It kept you around. I had a blast working with you, Ben. It was so much fun when it was fun.
Yep.
And then when it was hard, it was good to have you there.
Yep.
Yeah, it was extraordinarily difficult when Chelsea died.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard on
everybody.
Everybody. And it was hard on everybody's relationships.
Yep.
Not because we were like sitting around screaming at each other, but just like being around other people who were grieving was just really hard to do.
Yep. Yep. I mean, just sitting there in silence, basically.
Uh-huh.
Just with each other, you know, what else do you do?
Yeah. Because if you talk about it, it's worse.
Yeah. Or you can just hang out with everybody else that are hurting just as much and just being with each other instead of receding into a dark hole somewhere and never coming out, you know, type things.
I mean, yeah. I'm missing her.
But, yeah, that was the toughest part of the whole thing.
When we sat down for the interview, we were going to talk about, your experiences around conflict and conflict resolution and yeah. bad behavior. And let's talk about Jason.
Jason. He threw me off there with his name again.
So it's Jason is not his real name. And I have a reason that I choose not to share right now. But Jason is an acronym that Michelle and Annie came up with, and it's clever. Yeah. So,
oh, Michelle.
Brilliant sense of humor.
Yes.
Brilliant sense of humor. She and Janae Foster were very funny people.
Yep.
Very funny people. So Jason, or Just Say No, JSN. This fellow was very excited about swing dancing, but he had something of a mental illness, if you like.
Call it what you want.
Call it what you want. Yeah, we're not sure. So, being charitable, we're going to say he has some issues. Kind of mental illness, since it manifested as a desire to control everything. And what he did was, when we finally, the little group of friends, got together and decided kind of what to name things, because what was going on was growing so rapidly, we didn't have a name.
Yep.
So we picked out a name. Yakima Valley Society for Cultural Education was the name that I wound up going with as kind of an umbrella. But originally, the name was, before it was the Syndicates, it was called the Yakima Swing Dance Society.
Society, yep.
Which was a pretty terrible name, but it's the best we could do at the time because we didn't like naming it Swing Cats or Swing Dogs or Swing Chickens.
Swing Chickens, yep, that's it. We're going with that.
Everybody has to go with an animal these days. We'll put swing in front of it, then it'll be cool.
Yeah.
No, it won't. It's still not cool. But we came up with a logo, put it on t-shirts. We had everybody sign up for t-shirts. And it was fly by the seat of your pants. We were just doing a thing. It was not a big deal. And we turn around and Jason had registered it and then trademarked it and then declared it his own and then started running dances in town under that name. And we didn't find out about it for a while. Somebody came up and said, hey, the swing dances you're doing in downtown in Les Chateaux. He had
a website going and everything.
Yeah, he had a website and everything. They're not very good. Nobody goes to them, and you never talk about them here. If everybody here knew about what was going on down there, maybe they would want to go down there.
What? Say what?
And they're like, did you know that Jason was running things and you guys don't go to them? And like, what's going on?
Prior to him doing all that,
mm-hmm.
When did I take him to Marvel's with me? Was that after that?
No, it was before that. It was because
so he
did that after Chelsea died. Before okay. Chelsea died.
Well, before he was doing he was doing his Jason stuff. Anyways, I think Matt had to get a hold of him and say, you need to apologize for what you've done to Chelsea. And I think he did it. Because he
started
to say you can go to Marvel to their banquet and ball without doing that. And they did it. And then I had to go up with him, which was.
Oh, that's right.
I think I ditched him. I ditched him and came back with my brother.
Well, that was just it is he started hassling Chelsea.
Not just hassling the group. He was pinpointing the ladies, the women.
Well, it was the women. It wasn't just women generally. It was the women who had a ton of influence in the dance scene. And that was, you know, predominantly Jacqueline and Chelsea.
And he did
they had so much influence. Yeah, he did it to both of them. And so what he would do is he would accuse them of being mean to him and accuse them of being bad people and mean to him, which works usually with women. They don't want you to think they're bad. And then he would try to control them and manipulate them into primarily into involving him in every social thing they did. That was kind of how that went. So, like, if Chelsea was going to go hang out with her friends, he demanded to be invited. And if he found out that she went and hung out with her friends and he wasn't invited, I mean, it sounds like something straight out of high school, but this guy's like 25, 26 years old and he's doing this stuff. And I'm like, that's embarrassing because eighth graders do that. Like, you're embarrassing yourself. But he would get these women tied up in knots because he would have access to them. Like, they would normally, like, never have to put up with him if it wasn't for the dance scene. And this is an important point. If it wasn't for the dance scene, he would have never had access to someone like Chelsea.
Right.
So by being a part of the dance scene, now these guys like Jason, had access to these women who were socially powerful, is what I would call it. Because they were friendly and they had the capacity to carry on an intelligent conversation and they were good looking. I mean, I realize that's relative, but they were relatively good looking.
Yep.
You know, if you took a straw poll, everyone would say, oh yeah, she's good looking. Sure. And they were, and this was really important, was especially with Chelsea, she was extremely compassionate. So he set his eyes on Chelsea and he started hassling Chelsea real hard. And so Chelsea went to my Uncle Matt and my Uncle Matt went and tried to help, really.
Just trying to get the reconciliation.
Yeah, trying to get some reconciliation, trying to get him to wake up to what he was doing. Because Chelsea would have probably forgiven him and moved on and, yeah, you know, she would have been like, ah, you know, but she would have gotten through it.
Right. Yep. It's either that or she would probably just socked him in the face. Probably should have just done.
She should have.
Get it over with.
Just
punch him. Then he can go cry somewhere.
Could see her in the mind's eye with the hands. I miss her.
I remember he went and he found her at work and just being ugly.
Yeah.
And then horrible. I showed up.
Mm-hmm.
To her work saying, I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm here. And then Jacqueline simultaneously shows up at the same time with like a blizzard. And I'm like, you went up to me. Just like, I'm so sorry. You know, and I didn't really do that to me, but Jacqueline knew exactly how she felt.
Yeah. Because he started doing it to Jacqueline.
Yep.
And then it was my turn to deal with the situation. And Jacqueline was intelligent and articulate and friendly and all the stuff. Very, very influential socially. And dude.
I do remember the night where it was discovered what he had done. And you want to fire me up more? He starts quoting scripture at me when you're upset. That's when I get really upset. Don't sit here and start quoting scripture at me. And he started doing that. Well, I don't have the debate or gumption to start yakking at
even
you like
now,
that.
Even now, Vin, you start freezing up just thinking about it.
It just made me so irritated. And thankfully, I had Autumn and Brandon Wagner behind me. Where like they're just like, you don't do stuff like that. What are you? And just having it in the parking lot there. And I don't know how we got away from that, but I'm just like, dude, you're an asshole. Is what I was thinking. But yeah, thankfully having people there to, they.
So after Chelsea died, the whole inner ring that had been running the syndicates began to really go to seed, like really hard. Like we
expanded.
I was like, Chrissy didn't want to be around Jared. Well, most people didn't want to be around Jared.
I still do, buddy.
Right. Gotcha. Thank you. Thank you.
That's because we're related.
Probably. and I don't blame him. I really don't. And I was in pain. You were in pain. We were all in pain. So when that's happening, it actually was not fun to go to the dances anymore. It was agony. We were just doing it out of
just keeping it going.
Yeah. So at one point I was trying to divest myself as quickly as possible of responsibility there. When Jason came in and stole something, then all of a sudden we're like, you know what? This guy's going to take over if there's a vacuum.
He's going to figure it out.
Because he doesn't care.
He's going to see the weakness and pounce.
And there was so much momentum there. And so I started divesting myself very quickly and handed things over to people and kind of like, I knew people didn't want to be around me. I'm just telling you, Ben, I'm just going to be very blunt here. I knew people still like loved me, but they didn't want to be around me.
I'm going to love you from a distance, buddy.
Yeah. And some people kind of didn't really love me anymore either. And I understood why. I get it. I really do. I bear responsibility for what happened with Chelsea. So in the face of that, I began to, because I was the one kind of doing a lot of the confrontational stuff. That was my role, was doing confrontational stuff, which means I'm the muscle, if you like, or whatever. And as an example of this, at one point, Jason had written a letter talking about how terrible Jacqueline was and how Jacqueline was stabbing him in the heart, in the back of the heart or something. Do you remember that letter?
I remember something about a letter.
Yeah. It really freaked out Jacqueline, and Jacqueline and Janae were like huddled up in their house, and I'm like, why don't you just tell your dad? So I got the call, and I should probably make this clear, like at that point I only got phone calls when there was a real bad problem and they needed muscle, because nobody wanted me around. So I wasn't getting the phone call to go hang out anymore. I was only getting the phone calls
to deal with the problems. Yep.
And that's because of the choices I made, not because anyone was malicious about it. It was just like, I need to hang out with friends and it's painful to be around Jared. So I was reaping what I had sown. Just so everyone's clear here, this is not a victim story. So, do you disagree?
No.
Okay.
No.
Sorry, you took a breath and I wasn't sure if you had some input.
No, I'm just listening. So.
What, Ben? What?
I don't have anything to say.
Okay.
I promise. I don't have anything to say right now. Yeah.
So I get the call and I say, all right, you're mad at Jason. You need to confront him. She says, I do not want to confront him alone. I said, then take your dad. take your dad. It'll scare the crap out of him. Nothing scares the crap out of people like a pastor and a dad coming to meet with you.
All in one.
Uh-huh. The double whammy. And I don't remember all the details, but it turned into Jared and Jacqueline meeting with Jason. I also recommended that she take someone else that she was romantically interested in.
A posse.
There was any number of guys that she was romantically interested in, but I think she didn't want to take them because she didn't want them to think that she was romantically interested in them. So, women, I don't
Not
know.
Not my problem.
Yeah. So I get the job.
It wasn't me.
I get the job and I go and I meet and I'm like, okay, here's what you have to do. You have to tell them, I don't like this. Never do this again. Stop bothering me and leave me alone. Because she had never done that. At the time, she worked at what was, at the time, the most popular coffee shop in town, which was Northtown, mm-hmm. where Mac Daddy Coffee is now. So she did that, and then she left. And then I stayed there with Jason and listened to him rant, rave about how horrible Jacqueline was. And I'm like, I don't agree, but Jacqueline doesn't invite me to stuff. And doesn't invite you to stuff, and I don't do what you do. Because it's embarrassing, because it's humiliating. Yes, it's painful to know that every single person I know is over at Jacqueline's house, and the only person I can hang out with now is Grandma, because unfortunately, I say this, this is tongue in cheek when I say unfortunately. It's not unfortunate at all. Right. Unfortunately, all my friends are Jacqueline's friends, and all the friends I had before I knew Jacqueline, I introduced to Jacqueline, and now they're friends of Jacqueline. So they're all over at her house, right. Except Jared, who's going to act busy over here.
Yeah, you know, looking back now at that whole thing, you don't see it until it's later on. You're like, yeah, okay, mm-hmm. I can see that. I can see how it could be hurtful.
Oops. So that's okay, because the reason why nobody wants to be around Jared is because of his behavior towards Chelsea Garner.
So off the rails.
Mm-hmm. But here's the other thing, is that gave me a lot of credibility in confronting Jason. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, because I could say, yeah, yep, Jacqueline does that. Jacqueline doesn't hang out with people that she doesn't want to hang out with. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Like, I told him I did these things. I made these choices. And now people don't want to hang out with me. And some of those people include Jacqueline. So you get to be a butthead. And then you get to reap the consequences, just like me. And then I pointed out that I am also alone a lot. You could go ahead and call me, Jason.
How'd that go?
I said, oh, yeah, I guess, yeah. He never called me. No. Anyway, so push comes to shove down the road a little bit. He steals everything. And this thing that was going to seed, all of a sudden we decide, you know what? Things are never going to be the same because Chelsea's dead. So we're reconciled to that. Things are going to change. And I was moving away and trying to let things go, get out of the way. Someone else needs to be the muscle, but not, I didn't want to create a vacuum and just hand it over to Jason. So we kind of came together or like, all right, we'll deal with the Jason problem. And it was Christina and Jacqueline and Ben and Zach and me. And we consulted with some pastors. The only one that really wanted to talk about it was my Uncle Matt. So we discussed the, how to deal with it biblically in the Matthew 18 process is what mm-hmm. it's called. And you look up chapter 18 in the book of Matthew in the Bible, and it says, first you confront him. So I went to confront Jason, and he wouldn't answer my calls. So I saw him at Costco because Yakima was that small. And I go up to him and I say, hey man, I need to talk to you about the name, and he pretended I wasn't there. And so I literally talked to him from the Photoshop clear, where he picked up flyers with the Yakima Valley Society for Swing Dancing, or shoot, the Yakima Swing Dance Society, like posters that he had had printed at the shop.
And he was posting them.
And he had them in his hands while I was saying, we really need to talk about this. We need to talk about this. We need to talk. We need to have a chat. You're damaging relationships here, man. In the meantime, he's still coming to dances. So we get done, and he just completely ignores me. So we try to reach out to him a few more times, and finally we're like, look, we're going to do part two of this confrontation with or without you. And so we sit down, and we're like, here's what he's done. Here's his behavior pattern. Here's how he thinks he can keep treating women this way, and he thinks he can keep treating this group of people this way, like the dancers and the dances, with impunity. And so we all decided, every one of us decided, that he doesn't get to come to dances anymore until he...
That's right. I remember having to stand at the door. If he comes in, we stop him.
Yep.
I remember that. We had to like take turns on each Friday.
Mm-hmm. Because he would like tar baby you out in the parking lot.
Yeah. Well, if you're not going to let me in there, then I'm going to take all your time so you can't do it yourself. You can't be in there.
Yeah,
so.
You can't be in there dancing.
Yep.
And it, like the first time it took like four guys of him just like... word vomiting all over everybody.
Yep.
And then the second time, and the third time, and then he stopped. And then when I left town, he showed up again.
Of course.
Because the muscle left. And then Ben had to deal with him.
I just punched him. No, I didn't. I didn't do it. No, and thankfully I had some support behind me too, because I wouldn't have been able to still go one-on-one with Jason.
Mm-hmm.
He would have chewed me up with his words and was sat there quietly like, all right, what do you want?
Still can't go inside. Yeah.
That's okay, man. I don't have to dance. I can stand out here.
Yeah.
Listen to you banter.
Yeah. Listen to your raging.
But Zach was there and yeah. Zach's definitely a lot better with words than I am. So.
Yeah. Zach has a gift. He is an attorney now. So that helps.
Setting him up.
Yeah.
Here you go, Zach.
Cued him up.
Here's your calling.
Mm-hmm. Now I want to point out that like every one of us decided that, and we all stood in unity around that. So things were happening, and I left. I did. I went to Idaho for the summer. I needed it for my mental health. And everything just fired along just fine. While I was gone, though, other people started stopping, attending dances, being a part of anything, showing up. So by the time I got back from Idaho, everything had changed. Like, in terms of that inner ring, circle of friends. Yeah, it was over.
I was already married by then, so I don't think I was there very
much. You were almost married, yeah. You were like... 3 weeks from getting married when I got back. But yeah, Jacqueline had a falling out with Zach, and it taken off. I think she was looking for a reason to leave anyway. Chrissy had figured out something in terms of YWAM, I think. And then that iteration of relationships that had forwarded the syndicates as we knew it had really gone to seed, and there was still a ton of people showing up to dances. So when I got back, everyone that I started the thing with was relatively disengaged, except Zach. Well, Ben, are there any closing thoughts?
You know, I know you asked me to, you know, talk about past, and I'm just like, is it really that long ago?
Yeah.
Like 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember a whole lot. So.
Yeah, it's more than 10 years.
Yeah, I had a feeling I was going to forget some things that we were going to bring up, and made me go, I'm going to talk about this.
I've successfully buried them.
Did it. No, it was a good time. it was a good time. It was a great, I don't think I'd change anything personally. How right after high school and all that, and how all that happened and how everything went down. I know after I left, it like really kind of like you said, I started going into the culinary side of it, the theatrical side of it and stuff.
Yeah. We ran our first banquet and ball.
Yep. Yep.
Which you actually helped us by finding a place for us to land.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You guys mm-hmm. ended up at the ranch.
Yeah. And then you probably remember after we did our first banquet and ball, right before that, we were running real legit small groups.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that. You guys turned into that. Yep.
Ben, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in. It's, you know, to some extent, I wanted to be on the record how messy it was and how, like, not necessarily organized.
No.
And
we,
I don't...
We made it work.
Yeah, we made it to work, so... Couldn't done it without you.
Yep. You know, I don't know if there was ever really a point where I was like, I was in it. you don't have an option. You're in this. Okay. You got it.
Yeah. Well, I needed you, man. I mean, I needed you. I did. Well, I failed a lot. And it's amazing to me how well things have gone. That's just a miracle.